Blog Talk Radio.
If you want the best to put me to the test, and I'm sure you'll soon agree that I got no flaws, cause I'm down by law when it comes to rocking viciously. You see, cause when I was a little baby boy, my mama gave me a brand new toy. Two turntables with a mic, and I learned to rock like a Dolomite. Time went by on this God creation. I knew someday I would rock the nation, so I made up my mind just what to do, and I joined with the Jam On production crew. So go crazy, go crazy. Don't let your body be lazy. I said, don't stop the body rock till your eyesight starts to get hazy. Clean out your ears and you open your eyes. If you want to hear the music, just come alive. If you don't know how, get ready to learn. Cause Cosmo's taking his turn to burn. Take the C and O and the D, then you add M-O and a freaky D. Add a funky beat and then what do you see? It's Cosmo D. Yeah, baby, that's me. I got the beat and that smoke so sweet. Without me rocking, it's incomplete. So rock this, yo. Rock that, yo. Rock on it. Don't you dare stop. You rock this, rock that, and that's a fat core. Jam On Crew, a rocky body right back. Rock a steam locomotive right off the track and give the whole wide world a funk attack. Up to the beat, yo, get down. Let me rock it to the rhythm of my funky sound. From hill to hill, or from sea to sea, and when Jam On's rocking, everybody scream.
Jam On it.
Jam On it. Jam On it. No, no, and on it. And if you're feeling like you want to dance on it, then go on ahead and flow it. Cause jamming on is what we do best. It's what separates us from the rest. And if you don't think our crew's down for real, let me tell you what happened to the man of steel.
It's Superman that comes to town to see who he can rock. He blew away every crew he faces till he reached our box. It's because what we saw is high with whoopers made of steel. And when we bought our time back, he said,
for real. He said, I'm faster than the speed and bullet when I'm on the set. I don't need no fan to cool my ass, just use my super brand. I can fly 3 times around the world without missing a beat. I socialize with x-ray eyes and ladies, it's sweet.
And then he turned the power on and the ground began to move. And all the buildings were miles around, were swaying to the groove. And just when he had pulled the crowd and swore he won the fight,
we rock this butt with a 12-inch butt called Disco Kryptonite. Well, Superman looked up at me. He said, you rock so naturally. I said, now that you've learned the deal, let me tell you why I'm a soul for real. I'm Cosmo D from outer space. Can't do rock the human race. I do it right, I could jam to it wrong. That's why the whole world is singing this song.
Jam on it.
I jam on it. I say jam, 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 jam on it. As day says a night,
and actors and do whatever time it is. I wanna hear you say,
jam on it,
jam on it. I say jam on it, jam on it. Jam all around and upside down and keep it jamming to the jam over the set.
What's up, jam on it, jam on it, jam on it. Jam on it. I just decided that I wanted to kick it with something just hot, fired up back from the days of when I was growing up. When you talked about jam on it, when men would hit the dance floor. Remember, we used to hit the dance floor and we used to like jam on it. You were known that you was about to get a dance on. When we hit the dance floor with that song and everything. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of you celebrating this June 17, 2018. This is a special Father's Day program. What are we waiting for as fathers? Post-awakening 21st century. 2018 Father's Day as descendants of American slaves 21st century. The first generation of slaves since recorded 1619 in Virginia. Descendants of American slaves incorporated in Kentucky, Missouri, North Carolina, plus descendants of slaves network is original thought for the 21st century, having ownership, 51% ownership. We are uniquely Americans after the first generation of slaves. Ongoing process since 1619. Did you know you subtract year 1619 from 2018 equals 399 years? So if you subtract 1619 from next year, 2019, it equals 400 years. Darcy Network, wisdom, language, and understanding. And knowledge is in its organizational infancy, development stages. So culturally and currently, nothing is imaginable, impossible. That's my quote. Let me say that again. I believe Darcy Network, the wisdom, the language, the understanding, and the knowledge, it is in our organizational infancy, development stages. So culturally, currently, nothing is imaginable, impossible. I've never felt so bright. I've never felt so much more hope about what the potential is. But I will say, what are we waiting for as fathers? It is your responsibility to be the head of your household when it comes to your children. What are you waiting for? Well, I think you're waiting for maybe potentially us, the Descendants of American Slave Network, the Focus Show, and maybe you're also waiting on my host. Okay, she's my girl. I am convinced with my fostering attitude and her nurturing attitude, we about to do some serious work. What's up, Miss Queen? How you doing? Welcome to the Focus Show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, and happy Father's Day to you and to all of the fathers out there. May you enjoy the day with your children, and I hope you all are tuning in to get some very important information to not only share with your sons, but to have a plan of action going into the future.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you started us. First of all, what do you think about my jam on it? Jam on it.
Throwback. That was a throwback. Hey, I was in here doing the Cabbage Patch and everything. I hadn't heard that in a while, so I had to kind of, you know, renew those old dance steps to make sure I still had it, you know?
Did you wonder what I was up to? Like, oh, no, he didn't.
No, I always look for the thrill of surprise with you, so I was prepared.
I know you was already prepared. Well, listen up. I've been out hanging out today. We went out to 2 Not 1 Father's Day event here in Louisville. I walked around and I'm seeing the disparity on so many young men and, you know, young boys, you know. How are we going to do better in these times that we're in unless we do something different? So I'm decided, you know, I'm making sure anybody who's listening to this, I want you, go back and listen to this. I want you to understand that I immediately, you know, to be able to accomplish moving forward, you got to disconnect from what was Negro, Black, and African-American. And I want to ask you something before, you know, as we talk about the Father, we're talking about Father's Day, right? And we're talking about what fathers are supposed to be able to do for their children and whether better, you know, but let's talk about what's not happening now and the reason why it's not happening. And I want to be very clear. I mean, a lot of my partners hear me say that it's a post-woke and a pre-woke. I believe that culturally, the current identity of Negroes, Blacks, and African Americans have been altered. They've been walking around in a pre-woke conditioning, pre-awakening. They still captured from the 1619 all the way until now in the color matrix. So since they captured in the color matrix, they've been captured, been not able to know that they've been altered from their natural humanity processing. So let's stop right there. Natural humanity process. Do you know what I mean when I talk about natural humanity process, Ms. Queen? Do you know? I want to make sure, you know, do you understand when you, this is Dossie language. So when you hear me say natural humanity processing, what do that mean?
Wow. I think it's like you really carrying, not taking on, but actually going through the process in daily life of what you're supposed to be doing naturally. You know, naturally being a man, naturally being a woman, naturally taking on those roles and those God-given roles that we've all been assigned since the beginning of time as men and women. That's how I would perceive that, Brother Mishon, because we are innately born in our own skin, assigned our own genders. And in those genders, we have roles. You have a role as a man. You have a role as a father. Being the father, you have the role of being the leader, the teacher, the guide over a household. Being a woman, you have the role of being the molder, the shaper, the nurturer, the caregiver of the children and of the man. So that's the natural human process of
So let me interject. Now this is Dossie language, Dossie wisdom, Dossie understanding. What Leonard and I and Marcus and JC and I have been talking, because you know we're all military. You know, we are military influence, and you know the military helps you. As you heard me say this before, this is a grown man show, okay, a grown woman show, grown adult show. The military helps you drop your nuts, okay. It helps you, but it helps you come in as a boy. Okay, and it helps you to develop into a man. So if you didn't have that, if I didn't have that process of what helped me develop into a man, then I would have been left out here along with tremendous, like my other cultural individuals, the Negroes, Blacks, and African Americans, trying to find myself. And so when we say natural humanity process, what we're saying is that the very first generation of slaves, okay, that actually, now that we know that 1619 to 2019 is 400 years, so that means that from 1619 to all the way to present right now has only been basically, no, actually, 100, if you subtract 150 years away from the 400, that's 250 years. So what we're saying is that for 250 years, Ms. Queen, is that we have been practicing, or we were altered from our natural humanity process. See, the natural humanity process is what God gives every species. And when you think about the lion and your tiger or a bird or an eagle, when they're not altered, they are able to live out there. No one's distracting them. No one's altering. No one's stopping them from developing. Okay, so over time, that lion and that eagle or whoever, that species, they are able to pass on certain things from generations to generations so they can be able to help their little offsprings to understand who their natural enemy is so they be able to defend themselves. So the question is that if 150 years is said that we only been loose or let loose from the plantations, that means 250 years has only passed. And so how long has it taken for us to develop? Well, I think about it. My father is 75 years old. I'm 57. If you subtract 75 away from 150 years, he only been away from the plantation 75 years. If you subtract my 57 from the 150 years, I've only been away from, I ain't even been a century yet, okay? I've only been away culturally from the plantation 93 years. So that gap between that development stages, have we truly developed? And so when I, as you being a mother and you being a nurturing, when do you think, and I'm throwing this out here, because when you think about fathers and the natural father or the alpha male, okay, and if it's your offspring, if you care about your woman and your offsprings, just like any natural species out there, alpha male, you be concerned about They're going and coming. They're going and doing. It's a survival. So I want to ask you, Queen, when you're based on your own thinking, your own understanding, mm-hmm. when do mm-hmm. you think, or how long have you think we've been left alone for our men to develop, to know their natural humanity process that doesn't come, it comes from God, where you actually learn how to develop, to defend yourself, and you be able to say, hey, I know how to defend myself from my natural enemy, and now you know how to engage in everything. How long have you think it's been, and are we showing examples that we are able to do that? I want this from you first before we even engage in. I want to hear what, from your perspective, do you think that we've been, or when do you think, specifically men, our men, based on us being fathers, based on I went out here today looking at the fathers with their sons and their children. I'm asking you, how long you think it's been, or do you think we've been properly developed, or have we gotten there yet?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I think right now, it's a such thing as physical freedom, and then there's a such thing as mental freedom. So if you are physically free but mentally enslaved, then you are still enslaved. And so what I see with our men, and particularly with men in general, is that they are trying to find their way, but there are so many obstacles in their way, and a lot of times the obstacles that are in their way is just their way of thinking. So we are still mentally bound, and it takes those of us who have the information, who don't mind standing on the front lines to fight for freedom, justice, and equality. It takes us who have the information to disseminate the information, but every man, every woman has the responsibility to receive, process, and then act on information. So when I say that we get in our own way, You got people who turn a blind eye to truth because truth seems to be harder than the lie that they're living right now.
You know, there's a, you know, there's about three or four different organizations. I posted this on Facebook today. I said 2018 Father's Day. And say this is a combined quote. This is a combined quote from three organizations, Man Up Organization, DOTSI, and God's Lives Matter. But I worded it to kind of generalize everybody. Now, listen to this. I wanted you to listen. This is a quote that I wrote some time ago, but then I've actually combined it where I got a little bit of Man Up Benny, God's Lives Matter, and DOTSI. Now, listen to this. It says, being a real man means that you take care of your business. Stand up for what is right and just, no matter the cost. A man do not complain all the time. He naturally resolves his issues and moves on. Now, do I need to read that again? Because I want you to really hear.
No, if you don't mind, let me read it. Maybe it'll have a little more impact on the meme.
Oh, do you know what quote they're talking about, right?
It says, being a real man means that you take care of your business and stand up for what is right and just, no matter the cost. A man does not complain all the time. He naturally resolves his issues and move on.
Oh, you know, I'm so glad. Oh, coming out of your mouth. Oh, it means so much. It has so much more authority coming out. Oh, will you just please read that again? Please read it again.
Okay, it says, being a real man means that you take care of your business and stand up for what is right and just, no matter the cost. A man does not complain all the time. He naturally resolves his issues and moves on. That's the quote.
Queen, that's why Leonard and I and Marcus is saying that you, hearing a woman, hearing a woman say that means, hey, Leonard, I done brought Leonard and Marcus up. Did y'all hear what she just said? I couldn't have said it. How many times we've been saying that to men? We probably done said it to men three, four different times. But when a woman says it, Marcus, when a woman says it, it just cuts right to your core, to your bone. Okay. Yes. What you say about that, Marcus?
Oh, I agree with you completely. That's it. There's nothing else you can say.
Happy Father's Day, Marcus and Leonard.
Oh, thank you.
Well, look, let me say this also. Let me take a little responsibility, okay? Because just as the man is walking around here asleep and disconnected and has not arrived, then we have women who have been sucker punched in the head to think that they don't need their man because they have been given opportunities that have actually been taken from the man. And with those opportunities come a falsification of roles. So now you got some women who actually are out here to think that their nuts is bigger than yours and that they don't need a man. Only to reproduce, only to have a sexual encounter. I'm just keeping it 100. But we as women, true women, aligned with our God, aligned with the universe, aligned with the nature, know that our job is to push our men forward, push our men out. Nurture them, console them, be that quieting voice, be that inspiration for them to get out and be real men. So just as God didn't see fit for man to be alone, man should not be alone, nor should he be alone in this fight to stand up and take his rightful place as a man.
Ooh, yes. Boy, that's what I'm talking about. Now, I've been in the room where I have said to some women that I said, you know, you all are always cracking and always ragging on us as culturally as men. And I said to you, but it seems like you all have went ahead and taken the okey-doke. Okay, you all have went ahead and decided to, you know, go on and move on without us because some of those policies and some of those things has been in place has benefited you all and everything, and you all have just went ahead and decided that you didn't need. So that development of a man being a father, okay, has been harnessed because of you have the artificial government or the artificial man or artificial father, the government coming there giving you cheese and giving you housing and all these things, and we're not fighting to help that development of that man and not understanding that he needs a good woman. And some of the women took offense to me calling them out, okay, about because they thought that I was attacking them. I wasn't attacking them. I wanted them to understand that for every man that's trying to accomplish and trying to achieve something, that there's usually a woman there to either lift him up or pull him down. And you both, you know, so both plays a role in the success in that man being a good father to his children. And a lot of women, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't hear a lot of our sisters willing to admit that. Would you agree with that, Ms. Queen?
Oh, absolutely. And let me add a historical factor. Let's just go back a few years, okay? Let's go back to 1865, okay, where after so-called slavery ended, that whatever family was left, that family stuck together through the cold, through the rain, through the days of hunger, through the days of hiding in the woods in the South to keep away from the people who were still trying to kill them and lynch them just for the color of their skin. And then let's move up to 1929, when the stock market crashed. And then let's move up a little further when Roosevelt decided to create the New Deal. And the New Deal was that I will feed you and your children as a woman, but you got to keep your man out the house. And so that is by design. And by that design, you had no choice. And then let's move up to the Civil Rights Movement, where that was actually the beginning or the stepping stone to so-called affirmative action that would come much later. So affirmative action took the black woman and say, I'm killing two birds with one stone. I'm hiring a minority. And I'm hiring two minorities. I'm hiring a female and I'm hiring a black. But what I won't do, I won't hire that black man because I will not empower him because I fear that he may seek retaliation. In that mental process, women lost their natural roles and so did men. But when you become aware of the truth, then it is time for you to re-identify yourself with that truth and to have a plan of action to restore us as a people back to our natural order. But when you are stuck on stupid, sitting on silly and waiting on dumb, and you sitting at home and you crying and you wondering why you don't have no man, you got all this money that can't keep you warm at night, you need to go back and think about how you have been programmed by your natural enemy to reject your man, when that is the same man that you need. That is the same man that you're wishing and hoping that would die for you, that would live with you, that would comfort you. You rejected him, and now in your loneliness, you're longing for him. And now when you go out and reach for him, he is so intimidated by your stature because opportunity has not necessarily came his way. So he's intimidated by the black woman today.
Wow.
But here's the thing, though. If you are a woman And I say this all the time. If you are a woman and you are blessed to make $200,000 a year, I'll go find me a good brother. I don't care if he works at McDonald's. I don't care if he makes $20,000 a year. I want to know what is his goal, what is his vision. I'm going to support his goal. I'm going to support his vision because I know opportunities may not have been afforded to him. And then as I support him in his vision and build his esteem, I know that he's going to take care of me. This is the role that women are going to have to play because they're going to have to reverse the damage that has been done by corporate America and so-called institutions of higher learning. That's it.
Wow. Oh, my God. Make sure we get some people to listen. What you said there is going to require, you know, so Queen, I mean, just out of curiosity. So what's your take on this, feminist movement that's so strong in our community? Now, check this out. Let me, before you answer, this feminist movement specifically in our community that we proud, our women proud, you know, and I'm not mad at them saying that they're independent and they trying to handle things. But with all their independence and they proud, guess what they also do? They don't elevate the heterosexual natural man. They look like they're more interested in trying to find another woman or somebody else and everything. But what do you think about this feminine movement that seems to be attacking the natural development of us culturally in our heterosexual development as men in our community? Do you think that there's a problem in the feminine movement specifically when it comes to us culturally?
Whew, that's a loaded question. I'm going to tell you, as a clinical psychologist, my experience in watching this whole feminist movement develop. There are two things very wrong. You have young African-American women, in particularly, who have been fortunate enough to go ahead and become educated. And most of those women come from single mother homes or headed a female role. So the first letdown of a young woman is the absence of her father. That's the first letdown. That's the first man that broke her heart. That's the first man that neglected her. That's the first man that abandoned her. That's the first man that emotionally abused her. And based on the situation, a lot of times she heard one or two things, something very negative or nothing at all about her father. Then as a young, very young woman, maybe in her adolescent development, a little bit beyond, she experiences a man. And she entrusts this man with her emotions, with her body, because she is longing for that love, longing for that protection, longing for that security. And then he's just a young boy, and he goes off, and he breaks her heart, and he disappoints her. So when you want to get to the problem, you got to start at the root. You can't go by what you just see right now because that comes from a place. And that is why it is so important, not only for men, but for women to assure that their children have a relationship with their fathers. So many women are hung up on, well, if you don't pay no child support and if you don't have the wherewithal to go to court and try to get visitation rights, then what I'll do, I'll punish you, and I won't let you see your child. Well, you're really punishing your child. And I tell people all the time, I don't care if you don't get another 50 cents a month from a man. Do not deprive your child of the opportunity to have involvement with their other parent, because in the neurological development of a child, they actually know from the womb that they come from two people. They desire the comfort of a mother and the security of a father. And when that is absent in your neurological development, then when you come out into the world, your psychological and physical development, you feel awkward because there is something missing. And we cover it up and we make it seem it's okay that you raised my grandma and ain't Shirley and ain't Suzanne. But, you know, and Uncle John comes around every now and then. But you feel awkward when you see two parents and children and family and there's something missing in that child's life. So now come on up to 2018, you talk about this feminist movement. Well, what do you expect a woman to do when all she's seen in her household are women? And sometimes these are very strong, educated, very domineering type of women, women who are anti-man, even though they slip in one in the back door when she goes to sleep. You know, this is the kind of environment that young women have been subjected to, and then you say, well, I wonder what went wrong, because the father did one or two things. They were not allowed, or either they failed to not push to be involved in their children's lives. And we cannot put a price tag on our children's growth and development. Now, if you got a man that's just crazy and he's abusive or he's a drug addict or a severe alcoholic, okay, that's different. But to reject a man having a relationship with his child because of financial reasons, you're doing more damage than you are good by keeping that father away from their children. So now you got women who are doing just like the Bible said in Sodom and Gomorrah. They're becoming lovers of themselves because they don't feel that there are good men out here. And that is absolutely not the truth. So I think that's where it stems from.
You know, Queen, you, what I'm hoping that people that listen to this show, this is a very, 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 very important broadcast that we're trying to do here. This is sponsored by DASI, Descendants of American Slave Inc., God's Lives Matter, and New Nation Building. Okay, we are committed.
Nation Building Radio.
Nation Building Radio. Nation Building Radio. We are committed. We are committed that we need to, and I'm going to say this, you know, a lot of people may get a little upset at me, okay, but I need to say what I need to say. You know, I turned in my Negro, Black, and African American card. I turned it in like 15 years ago, ever since I came into knowing who I am. I have literally helped change my thinking. I don't even like using color. I have literally lived my life, okay, operating everywhere I go as a descendant of American slaves. And, you know, and Ms. Queen, ever since I've practiced that, I mean, I talk, I communicate, dialogue, no matter where I'm at, no matter who I'm communicating with, it will come out my mouth that I am. And I let them know, because you know what I'm trying to do? And this is what we're trying to do. What I want them to know that I understand, and I'm sorry, this is where people are going to get upset. I understand that the current demographics of Negroes, Blacks, and African Americans, those who adapt and go along with those identities, they're damaged. They're damaged.
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
Let me dispute.
1 minute. 1 minute. Just like you say descendants of American slaves, well, before they were American slaves, what were they?
They've always been American slaves. They didn't know it.
Well, on that's, the continent that, of Africa, that, what that, were they?
They've been brainwashed and deceived. This is what I mean, that they're dead. See, the reason why I already know where you were trying to go, but I want to tell you that if it's, I'm a medical person, okay? So I'm speaking totally from a medical metaphor, okay? So in the medical field, okay, when a doctor come up with a hypothesis, okay, and he had identify a diagnosis, okay, and if his original diagnosis on everything that he originally assigned to whatever that issue, and if it comes back and he still see the same symptoms and the same conditions and the same thing still recurring up. Now, you have identified it. I'm going to use this as a – you've identified it as being Negro, Black, and African-American. You've identified that that's who they are, okay? So you're hoping over time that because of that identity, this treatment and everything that you've been doing, that they will get better. But – they still having the same symptoms, okay? They same that the same system is in place. The same everything is still in place. So you have to, as a doctor, when a doctor see a patient that comes back with a high fever, high blood, white blood counts is high. They suffering. They hurt. They sick. The doctor got to reevaluate his first diagnosis, okay? He has to reevaluate and say, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I have not been giving them the right antibiotic. Maybe what I first thought that is not there. So what happened, what a medical doctor does, they straight back to the beginning. They go all the way. This is actually what happens, sis. They scrape when a patient comes in sick and all puzzled at it. They scrape. They reopen up the wound, scrape it all the way back to its original beginnings. Listen to what I'm saying. To its original beginnings and reevaluate what it initially gave and inject it with new information, new injections, new things. So then it gives it time to see if this treatment that they just have. So when I say, I know people going to be, so when I say that the current Negro's identity and the current Black identity and the current African-American identity are damaged, what I'm saying is that it's been falsely diagnosed. Okay, it's because of it's falsely diagnosed. It's not operating right, and it's evident based on what you're seeing that the ongoing treatments, the ongoing things that we're seeing, that they have not been operating properly. So you have to recreate yourself. You got to pull away out of that. You got to recreate yourself. So what a doctor does, they rename it and recreate it and call it something else under the new treatment that we're doing. That's what I'm saying. Okay, I'm saying that I can't currently continue allow myself to be diagnosed as saying that I'm Negro, Black, and African American when I'm seeing a dysfunctioning of my brothers. Specifically the men. See, here's another unique thing about this. When the men get their act together, good women will recognize a good man and do what they need to do. They will recognize that. But when the men, when culturally, it's just like an alpha male, when a female sees that this is the alpha male and he's taking care of his home and he's willing, she goes out of her way to find that man, find that alpha. Well, there's something wrong when all our males who call themselves Negroes, African Americans, and Black, when they're not willing to create a perimeter around their children, around their household, and stand down, just based on what we just read, a real man will diagnose the problem, fix it, and move on. How much? Now, I'm going to ask you a question here because I got another call in the line. Listen to this. How long have we been complaining? You just read. Now, you remember what you just read. They said they don't. A real man don't what? Don't continue complaining, okay? He fixed the issue and do what? Move on. So, how long we been complaining? Coach Lee Smith?
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but here's the thing. If we would call blues or greens, we would still have the same problem. And I'm not disputing you saying descendants of American slaves, because that's exactly what we are. But we cannot extract that there was an origin for the people that you call descendants of American slaves. Because
yes,
of American slaves, that means that we were a part of America versus that we became a part of America. Were we
right.
brought here to be made citizens? Were we brought here with the hopes and the prayers of the American dream? No, we were brought here to serve. We were brought here under brutal conditions. We didn't come with passports and papers. We were captured and brought here. So it's those people that we have to honor, and it is those people who made the American slave. Because when you say descendants of American slaves, you're not talking about the Caucasians. You're talking about few of the Native Americans. And you're certainly not talking about the Asian immigrants or the Australian immigrants or the Italian immigrants or the Greek immigrants. You're talking about a specific people that came from a specific place.
You are.
And that's
you
why
are,
I say I am a descendant of African American slaves, because I am African and I am American. Why am I both? Because my people originated in Africa and we paid for America with our blood, sweat, and tears and lies.
And you have a very unique, and I can't wait, because you know I love. I can't wait till you that logo that we have created, uniquely American, with the African.
Yes. I'm almost ready to use it. I want to put a story behind it.
I cannot wait till you. We cannot. To keep it honest. Your story, okay, and your family is going to be the birth of everything we write on, everything that we write on, because, see, it's your story tells both. You're right, okay? You absolutely right. But there's those like myself, okay, that if I were not to use the Daniels, but if I were to use the Floyd, okay, of my birth name, okay, I have no clue about my African heritage, because everything
mm-hmm.
that started me started in slavery, okay? Everything that I understand about my generation, and that 200 years from 1619, okay, until 1776 that America decided, and still America decided not to incorporate the slaves and make them human, is not until later, even after, you know, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, that you know, there was no document, there was no record of my existence, okay? You know, Floyd is my birth father's name, okay? Floyd is the slave owner's name, because that's the name that was passed on to my family. So I have no connection to Africa, other than I can say yes. Proceedings in 1619, and that's the story that we got today. But see, you help us be able to tell two stories, okay? There's the story of those who have that connection, like yourself. You know, I mean, it's beautiful when I'm listening to you talking about your story. It's beautiful when I hear you talking about how you know exactly who your great-great-grandfather was, who connected all the way back to Africa. What tribe did you say?
We're from the Maasai tribe in Kasarani, Kenya.
Yes. I mean, it gives me chills that you need to hear you say that you have documented the knowledge, the stories, that you can say that. Okay, that's a beautiful thing. And see, that's what's going to be so beautiful about Dossie being able to identify with both of those, okay? See, that logo is going to show us that we are uniquely Americans. We have a continent of Africa, the original seedlings that seeded this country, okay? And then you have those that was bred on the 15 slave, southern slave states, and they did bred slavery for commerce. See, we have to create that. We need to create our own story. You know, we don't have a story like that. We always allow the European culture to tell our story. We need to tell our story, and that's what I mean when I say Dossie language, Dossie wisdom, and Dossie understanding. Hey, Leonard, you said you ready. You got something you want to say?
Yes, 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 yes. First, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Everybody hear me? All right.
Yes.
I think I want to, today is Father's Day. First thing I want to say is Happy Father's Day to you and every father that's out there. And father
yes.
is not someone who just lays down and has children and abandons those children. That's a sire, okay, not a father, all right? A father is someone who is actively involved in a child's life, in a community.
Right.
In a community, every man who has invested himself in that community is a father. That means he can correct every child he sees. He can protect every child he sees in that community because those are his children, all right? He knows, hey, I know Mr. So-and-so over there. He's a good friend of mine. And I know that I would not allow his child to be out here like it. Therefore, I'm going to be an extension of Mr. So-and-so over there, and I'm going to be your father. Now, I might not whoop your tail, all right, but I will take you home, all right, and say, hey, I saw him doing this. I saw him doing that. I saw him doing so-and-so, all right? I see the girl out in the street doing this, that, so-and-so. See, so that lack of community, okay, that we've lost because of we've lost fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
But see, it goes back even further because we have to examine manhood, all right? We use the term man kind of loosely, all right? We say a good man, a bad man. I'm of the mind that there is no bad man. Man is a title that you earn, okay? If you're not a man, then you're an adult male, plain and simple. And that's one of the things we have to kind of distinguish is adult malehood from manhood, all right? There's something that I always say. I say not every man is a biological father. All right, but every biological father and every father is a man, okay? Every father is a, that means that is a natural progression, all right? One of the things I say is, it's the job of a boy to become a man. It's the job of a man to become a husband. I didn't say father. I said husband. It is the job of a husband to become a father. And it is the job of a father to become an elder, all right? That is the order of succession that we have to go through. If you follow that order, things will be fine. What ends up happening is we skip the husband part and become fathers. Okay, all right, you become a father, okay? You still have that obligation to those children. But the thing is as a warrior class, so see, this is what men are. All right, to expound on what Brother Michon said is what it means. We are the warrior class. We are the vanguard. We are the first people that the enemy has to come and see. They have to meet us first because we protect our women first, all right, because our women are the ones who produce our legacy. Our children is our legacy, all right. Through our children is how we become immortal, all right. So you protect that woman. That woman protects those children. To make sure that we live on, all right? So, as a warrior class, when you take the warrior out of a warrior people, okay, and you take that warrior away from a people, you leave that people helpless and defenseless, okay? See, so, as a warrior class of people, as a warrior, as the warrior of a people, okay, we have got to, that flame has got to be reignited within us to become warriors. And the thing about the word warrior, even though the root word of warrior means what is the root word of warrior is war, warrior does not mean someone who is a warmonger. or someone who is bloodthirsty looking. A warrior is someone who is in service to his people and is willing to fight and kill and die for his people. This is what it is to be a man, all right? And this is what it is to be a father, okay? Is a father is one of the first characteristics of fatherhood is selflessness. A father does what he does, all right, so that he makes sure his family is taken care of first, all right?
Right.
James Brown had a song called "You Pay the Cost to Be the Boss," all right? That is the cost to be the boss, being selfless, all right? Because you want to gain a woman's respect real fast, if she has to know that I know that my husband would do whatever he can do in his power to make sure that his family is safe, protected,
right,
has prosperity, okay? And that's respect, okay? So, and that's the thing that we've got to get back. Now, back to the terminology of black, Negro,
hey,
African American.
Leonard, hey man, brother, I love when you come on and you say, that's why, brother, that's why you depressed. You got to write that type of, I tell you this all the time, you got to write that stuff down. We got to put that down on, that got to be on like a manuscript, okay? We got to put that down like in standards and protocol. You know how in the military, you know, we got to put that down, on paper, okay? Because we've gotten away.
That's right.
If you heard Queen earlier, she talked about the absence of why women do what they do out there today. Well, they do what they do today because there's the absence of men to do what you just talked about. Okay, to willing to win their woman's respect and trust and confidence, because many of them have lost that warrior in them. Okay, that warrior has been docile. Okay, and we have to rekindle that docile, that warrior. And warrior doesn't mean, as a matter of fact, it was Andy who passed away. Okay, he, you know, Andy was a person that studied the Asian war tactics and everything. He was talking about a sword, and I love his analogy when he says when a Asian person, okay, show they sword is in their case. They says when a warrior shows you just, he pulls it out. He don't pull it all the way out. He pulls it out just enough so you can see that, lay ahead. I can go to war, okay, with you. I don't have to, okay, but I'm fully capable and willing to do what I need to do to defend my honor. He says that's the Asian community, that when an Asian person lets you know, and that's what they, he said that sword, because when they pull it out, they don't pull it. If they pull it out, it's time for battle. You about to get it on. But when they just pull it out just to show you that I'm armed or I'm ready, he says, that's the warrior mentality, letting you know, on God, okay? Be on God. That's something that we have to, is that what you was talking about there, right, Leonard, right?
I mean business. Yep, that warrior spirit, like I said, it's the warrior spirit. I'm just not going to let you just take or do or say or you know. But now we have to be careful, because we have to be intelligent about our strategy. Okay,
strategy, you know, right. You
can't. You cannot. A man does not act off of emotion. A man acts off of strategy and intelligence. Okay, a man will assess the situation and say, okay, here's the best way. That sometimes you don't have no choice but to act off of emotion. All right, but for the most part, you know, in an emergency, you have to be. Somebody has to be the calm head. This is where the man comes in. The house is on fire. You got to get the kids out. All right. You can't be, oh, Lord, the house on fire. Oh, my God. Oh, you
right.
Be, come on, let's go. Let's get out. Come on. Where's so-and-so? You know, you got to be the one.
Control.
You got to be the one thinking. Exactly. See, so like I said, it's the easiest way to destroy a people is to first attack his warrior class. All right. Now, if you attack his warrior class head on, okay, like I said, the warrior, and I'm going to use the African, we are the tip of the spear, all right? The spear is the business end of the tip of the spear, the sharp part, that's the business end. That's the part that does the killing. That's the part that you know, is going to say, hey, get back, all right? Or if you value your life, you're not going to come and fool with us, all right? We are the tip of the spear, all right? So being the tip of the spear, all right, when you attack, when someone attacks us, they're not going to attack the strongest part. They're going to attack the weakest part. All right? We have been attacked through our women. All right? And we just don't understand. See? We have been attacked. Like I said, like the sister said, affirmative action. Oh, double minority. There we go. Since we got y'all working for us now, since you don't have businesses of your own, all right, we're going to reduce the role of the man and elevate the role of the woman. You don't need a man suit. You can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, as the commercial used to say. All right. See, so yeah. Okay. This is how they attack. All right. We're looking for them to attack us. All right. We're not looking for the sneaky ways to say, oh well, you know, we'll just displace you. And this is where men and women roles. Okay. Here's another thing that they attack us with. All right. Is this thing about who is more valuable? Okay.
Right.
Who is more that? You know, if you look at a car is made up of thousands and thousands of pieces, right? Big and small. Without the engine, the car can't go. Without a transmission, the power plant, the power from the power plant can't get to the wheels to make the wheels turn. All right. Without the brain box, it can't make everything fire like it's supposed to be. If every piece of a car was arguing about its importance, okay? Well, I'm this, I'm this, I'm that, I'm so and so. All right, the little bitty tire valve, all right, that goes into the tire stem. Without that little bitty teeny tiny tire valve up in there holding the air in them tires, that car still wouldn't be able to go. If the wheels would turn, but it would tear up and it eventually not be, you know, act efficiently. So my point is this, is even the smallest, most, in you know, minute thing that you think, oh, well, that's not worth anything, plays a big role, all right, in the our entirety. So there is no who's better or who's more important, though. You know, this one is, you know, you can't look at it like that. Just because roles are different doesn't mean that they have a lesser value, okay? Women have a different role than men, but that does not diminish her role to our collective, all right? Her role is just as important to our collective as that warrior, okay? Like I said, you come under attack. The warrior is fending off the enemy. The woman is defending the children. Get my children out of here so that they are not on the battlefield, okay? And if it comes down to it, defend our children with your life, okay? That is an important role if I should fall, okay? See, so you know, we got to get out of that. That's one of the tricks. Oh, you know, the man is greater, so-and-so, such-and-such. Women want to be, you know, that's one of the things. And these are things that we have to say men, you know, to our women, say, listen, what you do for me, all right, I appreciate more than you can ever know, all right?
Right?
And then the woman has to say, what you do for me, I appreciate more, and that appreciation right there, that show of appreciation goes a long way when it comes to relationship building. But like I said, though, it's attack the weakest things, attack the bonds, okay? You know, attack our nature and attack our customs and our culture, all right? This is how they attack us, all right? Not attacking, because like I say, we ready to fight. They're not fighting us that way.
Hey, I want to, Marcus, you've been sitting on the line. I know you like to sit back and listen and everything. You want to engage and bring anything, then I'm going to go to Peter. Peter been sitting on the line listening. Marcus, you want to add to this comment and conversation?
Disconnected. I've just gotten back on in the last couple of minutes, so I'm not sure what's going on, but so I'll go ahead and go to Peter.
Okay. Hey, Peter, you've been sitting here listening. Happy Father's Day to you, man. How you doing?
Yes, happy Father's Day. Yes. Yeah, great conversation. I think this, you know, the discussion of manhood and womanhood and roles of the different roles is very important. And we don't spend enough time in society, it seems, talking about these core fundamental issues. Yeah, I like what Leonard had to say. You know, when you think about it, it's chronological. It's kind of like our Man Up 5 principles, Michorn, you know, be a good individual or man, and then be a provider, you know, take care of your bills, learn to be financially independent so that you don't depend on other people, then become a husband. Husband is very key, and then become a father. And then once you do that as a family, you can actually give back to your community. What we see is in America, you know, over the last 70, 80 years, is a total breakdown of the family. So too many people are bypassing the marriage and going into the fatherhood and motherhood, and that's creating the crisis that we see in America. Specifically when it's DAS community, you know, African-American, black, whatever, you know, the different category, you know, it, right now the percent of unwed children is 71%, you know, in America. So that means out of 100 kids, 71 are born outside of marriage. Most of them are in fatherless homes. And the experts tell you 40% is the tipping point. So if you go above 40, you're toast, basically. So across all ethnic groups is at 41%. So America's in really bad shape. And actually, the increase in the Caucasian community has been tenfold since 1960, from 3% to 31%, where it went from 22% to 71% in the DAS community. And but anyway, those numbers are astronomical when you think that in 1960, the rate of children born out of wedlock was 5%, which is high, but it's manageable. Now we're at 41%. And, you know, it's just very difficult for a single parent to financially and economically, spiritually, emotionally raise children. And some of them do a great job, both males and females, so it's not knocking them, but it's really a recipe for disaster. And if we don't turn it around, we're really not going to see much progress as a country. That's the bottom line, because every social scientific study and expert will tell you that, you know, all of the social problems we talk about, whether it's crime, violence, depression, suicide, one of the main driving force is the lack of fathers in the homes and, you know, the lack of two parents in the home.
Yeah, I was at work this weekend, and I posted something on Facebook, and I did it intentionally. I was in a room, you know, talking about Father's Day, and I was in a room with two men that come from different countries. You know, immigrants. They're immigrants. They both one from Iraq. You know, he's a resident. You know, getting his schooling and everything, and then the other one is from Japan. And we're sitting there talking and having conversation and everything. And I ask him about, you know, certain things. And what I've really come to realize is that immigrant men, okay, men who come over here from other countries and everything, they come here with a tremendous amount of what I call, when we was talking about earlier, Queen, with their natural humanity developed. What I mean by that is that from generations and generations, they might have come from some disadvantaged or community or country that's, you know, not as good as America, but there are certain values and certain things has been passed on to them from their family to family and everything, that when they come to America, they look at America way different, way different than we who are born here in America, specifically us who are, we are descendants of slaves. And their whole concept about America, if you just sit there and listen to them, they're not interested in hearing our problems with America, okay? Actually, they don't give a damn about hearing about our problems about America and everything, because their outlook about America is entirely different. And they come here thinking about taking care of their wives, taking care of their children. They wouldn't even think, they would think it would be crazy as hell to not consider taking care of their wife or their children and not provide a better way for them to be able to sustain and make themselves. And they wouldn't even, these men wouldn't even blink an eye to stand and defend the stand up for their wife and their children. They wouldn't allow their children to live in poverty. They wouldn't allow their wives to think that they need to be taken care of by the government. They wouldn't even think of that in their own ideology. And it was kind of interesting talking to them and everything when I was talking about fathers and the fatherhood and culturally and everything. But all you got to do is listen and everything, and you start hearing. For me, this is just me. You know, I had to think about me, Sean. 98% of the market that I work in the medical field, medical profession, and I got to look at the demographics of people that I'm around. Okay, so in the medical profession, I would say that 80% of the environment of people that I'm around is I'm around European American men. 17% of that is European women, and the other percentage is other cultural of individuals that may come through there. And what I've come to realize is that when you sit there and listen to other different people and their ideology, their point of view, for me, this is where I started realizing that we're culturally damaged. And this is where I was referring to, Ms. Queen, when I was saying culturally, yes, the system made us this way, but at some period of time, we have to become grown, mature culture people and defend ourselves against that and start doing better. And somehow I've decided that the current demographics, they call themselves Negroes, Blacks, and African Americans. It's 400 years since 1619 going into 2019. We're still talking about the same thing. Somehow we got to recreate ourselves and pull away from that. And that's why I was saying that demographics of people based on that identity, that they're damaged goods, and you have to recreate it. So we got to pull away. It's kind of like, you know, once I realize something's not working, then I'm the fool to continue practicing doing the same thing, thinking that something's going to change, and could still rely on the same people to do something for me when they're incapable of doing that. You know, anybody have any comments to that? Do anybody follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I hear what you're saying, but I think a perfect example of what I'm talking about is that I currently live in Texas, right? So allegedly, Abraham Lincoln emancipated the slaves in 1865. Well, in Texas, they have this thing called Juneteenth, where they're
right.
actually celebrating Juneteenth, 1866, because that is when Texas got the news. Now, of course, back in those days, there was no internet, you know, no newspapers, no television, you know. So information was disseminated, you know, at its own little pace at that time. But what we have culturally gotten away from is what they call the family meeting, you know. So in 2018, in my father's village in Kasarani, Kenya, there is still the family meeting where the elders call all of the members of the village together to share the news, whatever the news may be. With the availability of information, for those of us who say that we are conscious, for those of us who say we have a new awakening, for those of us to say that we can now see clearly through muddy water, it is up to us to disseminate information, because you have to understand the one key word that you always use, Sean, is unlearn. Well, if you meet a man who's 50 years old and he's caught up in a particular culture or a particular way of doing things, you're not going to get him to unlearn particular behaviors just by that one encounter. It is up to those of us who have information that is pertinent to our survival, that is pertinent to our ability to improve life. It is up to us to disseminate information. That's why you're on this radio. That's why I'm on my radio. That's why we use social media to get out different information, because it's going to have to change. But for those who are stuck, for those who are stuck in a perpetual cycle, then they very well may be stuck there. But I think what will happen is that when they see a movement, because everybody has an agenda, nobody has a plan of action. So when they see a movement in a different direction, when they see things starting to come into fruition, they will, their curiosity will lead them to the change, because the change is so positive, because the light of the beacon light is so bright. You see what I'm saying? So
no, you
it
are,
has to be a movement.
You are absolutely on point. But I will say to you, and I will let my lieutenant colonel speak to this, Marcus, if he's still there, and we see if he agree what I'm about to say. One thing about the military, and I have to agree with the military philosophy when it comes to this ideology, okay, is that I remember that I had this experience as a platoon sergeant as well, is that when you have instructions and you have the idea what the mission is and you have an understanding, clear understanding of what the purpose and what you need to accomplish and what you need to achieve and everything, one thing that the military does not and will not ever allow it to ever take place is that one monkey or one individual or a demographic of people does not stop the movement of something trying to go in a direction. So you have to identify, okay, try to correct, okay, get with the program. But if they refuse to go along and understand the program, you have to separate yourself, because you cannot allow one individuals or a few individuals, they take down the whole mission of something that you're trying to accomplish. And what I've seen so often since I've been back in the community, in our community, what I see happen so often is that, you know, we want to help those and we want to reach out to those. And I found myself having to do that. I've had to cut off and I have to show them that I'm not you and I'm not thinking like you, I'm not talking like you, and if I have to alienate myself from you so you can understand that I'm different from you, okay, then I've caused people to see different. And I've had sometimes some people come back to me and say, hey, Mr. Meeshawn, a brother Daniels, brother, man, listen, I hated your ass, man. I called you Uncle Tom and told you a whole lot of different things. I think I was just telling Leonard this the other day. But they come back to me and they say to me, you know what, I apologize, okay, I realize that you... So all I'm saying is that, yes, we do have to, I do believe that we do have to help those unlearn. But there's a specific time period, okay, that you work on people unlearning to try to get them to relearn. And Marcus, you want to speak to that? Because, you know, you got to be careful allowing people to pull you down when you know you got something good, you're trying to go somewhere. You got to get the job done. The mission must be done. Marcus, you want to speak to that? Marcus? Well, darn it, Marcus has dropped off. He does that every time I'm trying to get him.
Hey,
Leonard, you want to speak to that, Leonard, what I'm talking, you're a military guy. You understand what I'm referring to.
Yeah, I understand. I think one of the biggest things you can do to make somebody cause them to have introspection, all right, to kind of look over their life and say, you know, am I why am I not where I'm supposed to be, or am I doing as much as I possibly can do, or the best position I could be in is results. When people say, hey, you know, here's our philosophy, here's what we're going to do, and here's the direction we're going into, here's our plans of action, and you have doubters, all right, the best way to silence the doubters or even recruit the doubters is through results. So I think that kind of has to be the focus of what we have to do when we talk about unlearning. You can tell a person, hey, you know, this is wrong. I've explained it before. I say, hey, descendants of American slaves is a legal term, all right? It's an ethnicity, but it's also a legal status. Just like Black, African American, Negro, these are legal statuses, all right? And we have to operate in a realm of legalism, okay? So I can talk to people about that, and they won't get it, but when we finally actually start showing, hey, you know, well, look, this is what happened, or look what this, or look at this, or look what these people are doing, or check this out right here, then all of a sudden it becomes, well, wait a minute, you know, maybe there's something to that. So that kind of, we put the information out there, okay? And, yeah, you know, some people will say, hey, that sounds like a good idea. How do I get involved? And then other people say, you know what, man, that ain't going to work. Okay, fine, that's not going to work. We keep pushing forward. We keep doing what we're going to do. And eventually, like I say, the best recruiter and the best changer of minds is results. And that's the thing that we've been lacking. Yep, that's the thing that we've been lacking.
Is producing measurable results. You're absolutely right. Yeah,
exactly.
That's one of the, you know, and Sister Queen, if I can say, that's one of my major pushback when I think about the Nation of Islam. As much as I have followed, I've listened, and then, you know, my question is, I actually had to check someone that was coming at me, and I said, listen, brother, I mean, I have no disrespect to what you're saying and everything. I say, but listen. When a Nation of Islam can show results in their own backyard, okay, then you can come talk to me, okay? I mean, if your headquarters is having a tremendous amount of, you know, where you had your headquarters at and where you were supposed to be the most strongest and the most influential in your area and everything, measurable results, okay, is a good key. Or showing someone that, hey, I am producing, okay, I am doing and I'm accumulating and I'm doing things. When you got crime and shootings and killings and everything in your own backyard and everything, and you haven't found the way to get a remedy to that and everything, that's a question of being able to produce measurable results, okay, that's effective to changing things. And I think that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do by changing legislation.
Well, let me say this in defense of the Nation of Islam, because I think there's a big misconception there.
And we got 7 minutes.
I mean, how can I put this real quick? The FOI is there basically to protect the mosque, to protect the believers. That is not a community action plan. And so just like in any other city, just like in Manhattan, New York, just like in Brooklyn, New York, just like in Houston, Texas, there's crime everywhere. The FOI is not a security force. So I just want to say that in their defense. But when we talk about things like that, that is a reflection on us, how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about our community, how we look at one another. And so there has to be a value on life, and there has to be a moral code. And what has happened is that America in general has lost their moral authority. And clearly displayed on what they allow on television, on what is allowed on social media. Yes. So when you allow programs that will allow open homosexual activity, open violence, open drug dealing, open scantily clad women, then you can expect that your society will follow.
Hey, Hey, woo, Lord, what you said? Let that. Yeah. Hey, well said. Listen up. I'm going to allow, let's go ahead and close out with our last few comments and everything. Peter, why don't you start us off? And then, as always, Queen, you close us out and everything. So, Peter, you start us off.
Yeah, to echo on what Queen just said, yeah, the moral culture of a society dictates those results we're talking about. That's why it's not easy, you know, unless you really change the moral culture of a country. We obviously went from, you know, besides, of course, a lot of the political and ethnic and racial nonsense, but, you know, in all communities, we had some pretty high moral standards. We didn't always live up to them, but at least those standards were there. You know, 100 years ago, you know, poor people weren't thieves. You know, dirt poor people were dirt poor, you know, but they didn't steal from each other. Now we have, you know, everyone's stealing from each other. So, you know, that's just one example. You know, 50 years ago, children out of wedlock was seen as a very bad thing, and now it's celebrated. It's kind of the norm if people, you know, celebrate children out of wedlock. And so, yeah, the whole moral standards have declined, and it's so persuasive. It's kind of like this. We all know the story of the frog. If you throw a frog in boiling water, he'll jump right out. But if you put that frog in some just lukewarm water, he's real comfortable, you know. But then you just start turning up the heat, and sooner or later, he's a boiled frog ready to eat for dinner. So that's similar to the moral culture. You know, it declines year by year, year by year. And it's hard for that frog to feel that, you know, because when he went in, it was kind of lukewarm, felt pretty good, like a sauna. But then later on, he's boiling and he's being eaten by Peter or someone else on the buffet table, at your Chinese buffet table.
What an analogy, brother. Appreciate that. Go ahead.
I might go get me some frog legs tonight.
Go ahead, Leonard.
Yuck. Okay.
Hey, Leonard,
I would just like to say happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. Once again, this is Father's Day show, manhood show, DAS fathers, all fathers, okay? Doing the right thing, you know, don't worry about being, a lot of times we look to reward. Sometimes the right thing is its own reward. I know many cases of fathers that have, you know, I've done everything I possibly can to do right by this or do that, and things don't turn out the way they're supposed to. Well, you know, eventually they will. Eventually, you know, if you keep at it, you know, water will bore a hole in a rock if the water does it a drip at a time. So we have to stay steady and firm in our beliefs as fathers, in our tactics as fathers. We have to be, like I said, the vanguard of the community. We have to be the tip of the spear, as they would say. So, like I said, once again, celebrating Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. DAS is getting ready to do some really big things, and we need some of you fathers on board, all right, to become that community that we once were or were trying to aspire to be. And we need to get back to doing those things. And like I said, DAS is going to lead that charge. So like I said, is stay tuned. Stay tuned to this. To the Focus Show, because there are going to be more announcements and more news about things that are going on in the future that are not just fathers, but mothers too, grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, everybody can be involved with young people, college students. We want everybody, because it's going to take everybody to change this world and turn this thing around, all right? I'm going to end with a quote that I heard from a little boy little boy, he's a trainer, and I just thought this was the most awesome thing I heard in a long time. He said, you have to fight for the thing that you want, because the thing that you want will not fight for you. And that's what I'm going to say. I'm ending it with that.
Ooh,
hey, I got 44 powerful. Seconds, Queen. 44 seconds.
I just want to say happy Father's Day to all of the fathers. Thank you for being real men, real fathers. May God continue to bless you in all your efforts. And I pray that you spend the day telling your children about their roots. This is the day that you as a father can sit down and share the story of how your family began. Go back as far as you can. Keep your children informed. Let them know they come from a legacy of greatness. That's it.
And with that being said, that's a wrap for the Focus Show. Appreciate it, and happy Father's Day to all of you. I love you all, and see y'all back here next week. Peace out.
Love you more. Peace.
Love you back. All right.